Matthew chapter 9 is the beginning of a new year. If you notice the sign this morning on the front of the church, begin again. That's a good thing to do. Sometimes you just have to start over. You just have to put the past behind you. In fact, I think it's something we should do every day, not just in the morning, starting a new day. Sometimes you have to begin again several times each day. Just start over. Just forget about the past and start just like you're fresh. Start a new beginning. And I believe that's a good thing to do on a New Year's Day. And just to trust Him with what's in the head and forget what's in the past. Let Him deal with that. But anyway, that's not all what I'm saying this morning. That won't be what I'm dealing with. Look in beginning in verse 1, chapter 9, verse 1. And he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. Behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sin be forgiven thee. Behold, certain of the scribes said unto themselves, This man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether it is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and walk, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on the earth to forgive sins, then saith he to the sick of the palsy, Arise, take up thy bed, and go into thine house. And he arose and departed into his house. And when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given much power unto men. Notice in verse 8, And when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. Verse 8 tells us an awful lot about this story that we've read, this account of what took place. It says that men marveled, those who saw it marveled. They were amazed. They were astounded. It was something they had not seen before. It was something that they had to say, God did that. That's exactly what the verse says. They marveled and glorified God. It means that they said, look what God has done. They had seen something that they could not explain anything by any other means, by any other statement than, look what God has done. And it marveled them, it astounded them, it amazed them. How I would like to see God do something in our day that would astound us. I am tired of the ordinary. I'm tired of the average. I'm tired of just going by and getting by day by day. I'm thankful for what the Lord's doing. I'm grateful for what He has done and what He is doing in our present. But we have not exhausted God. We have not seen all that He can do. These people had probably seen God move in their lives before. They probably had seen Jesus do miracles before. They had seen Him do things, they had heard about Him, and they heard about this amazing man that was called Jesus. But now they see it face to face. And when they see God move and they see the Lord do something, it astounds them. It was as though they said, I've never seen anything like this before. And friend, this morning we ought to desire that ourselves. For this year, in fact, but for today, no matter what day on the calendar it is, we ought to have a desire to see God move. But you know what? As much as we want it, He wants it more. He has a desire. Now, I don't know what your desire for this year is. I hope it is about what I've tried to say, to see God move, to see Him work, to see Him do more, to see Him work in your life and your family and your church, your community, and even your country. I hope that is your desire. I hope there's a hunger in your heart to see God do something that would astound you, that we would marvel over, that we would have to say, only God could have done that. But whether we want it or not, God wants it. It does me good to realize that God wants to work. He wants to forgive you if you're a sinner this morning. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. The Lord wants to save you. His Son wants to come to you and touch your heart and deal with you and forgive you if you'll accept Him. That's His desire. But for us that are saved, He wants to work. He wants to help you with that problem. He wants to help you where you're at. He wants to help our church. He wants to help our families. He wants to meet the need. It's something to say He will. It almost seems like, well, I will, even though I don't want to. But that's not the God of heaven. He not only will, but He wants to. He has that kind of desire. So I want to ask us this question this morning. What does God want for this year? For 2017, what would He like to do for you and for me, for our homes and for this church? What would God like to do? Now, I know He can, and I know that He's willing, but for me to realize He wants to, it is His desire that makes me realize something. Whether He does or not is greatly dependent upon me. Whether I allow Him to work in my life or not determines much of what He'll be able to do. For He will not force Himself on us. He will not make us accept His goodness. He will not make us accept His grace. He will not force you to be forgiven this morning if you're lost. He will not force us to accept the good things He wants to do in our lives. If we won't accept it, if we don't want it, He'll go on to somewhere else. But I want to ask you this morning, what does God want for 2017? If you notice in verse 1, it says, "And He entered into a ship and passed over and came into His own city." Now at that time, His own city was Capernaum. He was using Capernaum as sort of a headquarters at that time in His ministry. So He had been out helping people and healing people and preaching the gospel. But He comes back into His own city. He comes home, if you will. And if there's any place on earth that Jesus should have felt welcome, it should have been His home or His headquarters or His own city. It is as though He's coming back home. And I thought about this. What does God want for this day? What does God want for this year? What does God want for us today? First, He wants a son who is welcome. He's coming home. He's going back to His city, His headquarters. If there's any place on earth at that time where He should have felt welcome, it should have been there. Had there any place been on earth where He should have had people that are saying, "Oh, I'm glad to see you, Jesus. We sure have missed you. Glad to have you home." It should have been that city. Sad to say that wasn't the case. And I believe God this morning wants a place and a people where people will realize, "I'm glad He's here." He wants a son that is welcome. You know, sometimes you may go to someone's house and you just don't quite feel welcome. You know what it is to pay a visit, boy, if you've knocked on doors, you'll feel this sensation quite often. You're there and you're talking to them, but you know they're wishing you weren't there. They'll open the door. You'll go to see a friend and maybe they didn't expect you, or it's a bad time, or maybe they don't really like you so much. And you're there and they're talking to you and there's communication going on, but you know you just don't feel welcome. You just don't feel comfortable. But then you go to someone else's house and, man, it's like they're so glad you're here, and they fling open the door of their house, but they fling open the door of their heart. And you talk with them and there's communication. You see it in their eyes. They're glad you're there. You feel welcome at that home. Well, how much about this? Your children come by and you're glad to see them because they bring the grandchildren. Now, the children could stay home if you just send the grandchildren. But you're glad they're there and they truly are welcome in your home. You're glad to see them. I'm talking about feeling welcome, feeling like somebody's glad you're there. Don't you think Jesus feels that way? Don't you think the Father wants a people who will welcome His Son, who will welcome Him into their heart, who will say, Jesus, I need You. I need You. I need forgiveness. I need help. I need compassion. I need communication. Don't you think God the Father wants someone who will open their heart and make His Son feel welcome in their lives? I believe that's one thing God wants this morning. I believe that's one thing God wants for this year, for His Son to be welcome. I believe God wants a people who will open their heart and make His Son feel welcome in our hearts, in our homes. Don't you think God wants His Son to feel welcome in our homes, to where He doesn't feel like He's stifled or that they really don't want Him? What about here in the church? Boy, it's a big difference when people say, oh, I hope the Lord's there today. I'm looking for Him. I'm expecting Him. I have a desire for Him. There's a verse that deals with this. I like it a whole lot. In Luke chapter 8 and verse 40, here's what it says. Listen closely. The people gladly received Him, for they were all waiting for Him. It says they'd been waiting for Him. They'd been looking for Him. They've been longing for Him to come. And when He did, they were glad. That ought to be our attitude every day of our life, to where we make the Son feel welcome in our homes, in our hearts, and in this church, in this place here, that He might be welcome. What does the Father want? What's His desire for this year? I believe He wants a Son who is welcome. To be welcomed means to receive. To give access. Now, if somebody visits your home and you like them a little bit, you'll let them come in the living room. You'll let them come into the formal place. And you'll talk with them and commune with them. And when they go home, you say, I'm glad they're gone. But if somebody comes and you love them, you don't go to the living room. You go to the den, or you go to the kitchen, you go to a place where it's comfortable. And if they go to the refrigerator and open that refrigerator and get a bean out, or the leftover ham, or it don't bother you a bit, you're glad they're there. They're welcome to come. And that's how the Son wants to feel. He wants to feel welcome. I mean by that being receptive of Him. Receiving Him, accepting Him, open our hearts up wide to Him where He can be feel welcome in our homes, welcome in our hearts, welcome in our lives. God the Father wants His Son to feel welcome, to where we receive Him and let Him have access to our lives and hold back nothing. I do know this, if we do that, there'll be a difference between Him and us. And what I've talked about this morning is God doing something that no one else could do. And God doing something to where when it was done, they said, look what God did. It had to be God. And they glorified Him. I say this, if we don't let His Son be welcome in our lives, we'll never see that kind of thing done in our lives, our homes, or our churches. We need to welcome Him. We need to open ourselves up to Him and make Him feel welcome. Look in verse 10. Jesus speaking to this man. Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. Well, to begin with, Jesus deals with the root of the problem. Here's a man who is paralyzed. Here's a man who has palsy. Here's a man who's in a mess. Here's a man who's in trouble. And this very clearly tells us, it indicates to us that the reason he's sick is because of some sin in his life. Because Jesus deals with the sin first. That's not always the case. A lot of people are sick and it's not sin.
A lot of people are afflicted, and it's not because of anything in their lives. But in this case, it is. It's because of the sin in his life that he's sick like he is. So Jesus deals with his sin first, and he says, "Son, be of good cheer, thy sin be forgiven thee." He deals first with the sin, and then he deals with the sickness. Look on in verse 6. "But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sin." Then saith he to the sick of the palsy, "Arise, take up thy bed and go unto thine house. He dealt first with the sin problem, then he dealt with the sickness problem. I say by that, he dealt with the man's problem. He dealt with the man's need. The Spirit, here's my point, get it? The Spirit of God moved through Jesus to help this man with what he needed. He moved on his sin, and he moved on his sickness. And when he was done, both were taken care of. The need was met. And when they saw what was done, it amazed them. When they saw what? When they saw the Spirit move. When they saw what God had done. Could I say this? God wants to do something in our lives this year. He wants a son that is welcome. He wants a spirit that is working. Now, God's everywhere, all the time. David said it like this, "Whither shall I go from thy presence?" Excuse me, from thy spirit. "Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there." David knew what we ought to know, and that is that God is everywhere. Whether you know it or not, realize it or not, accept it or not, believe it or not, God is here this morning because he's everywhere. And God is at work, and God is at home, and God's in your car when you're riding down the road if you're saved. By the way, he's there whether you're saved or not, for God is everywhere. But there's a big difference to God's presence being there and him moving, him working. The Bible says to begin with, all this earth was dark and void and empty. And the Bible says this, the Spirit of God moved. Now look around and all the beauty that God created, all the splendor, those things that amaze us, this creation, this universe, astounds me. And it came to pass because the Spirit moved. Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, breathed, moved, worked, touched, and changed. And that's exactly what happened to this man. He was different because the Spirit moved. Had the Spirit not moved, he would have gone home the same. Had God not worked in this man's life, he would have gone home the same. And that's exactly how it is with us. When the Spirit moves, what a difference it makes. He may be here, but if he doesn't move, we won't get help. He may be there, but if he doesn't move on that problem, the problem won't change. He may be there, but if he doesn't handle that need, the need will remain the same. There's something different about him being there in his presence and him being there in his power. Jesus was used of the Holy Ghost. The Spirit moved on the need of the man, and the need was met. And you know what? That's what God wants. He wants to be able to move. He wants to be able for the Spirit to work. He wants to help you with that problem. He wants to help you with that issue. He wants to answer that prayer according to his will. He wants to move in our churches. He wants to move in our homes. He does not want to stand by idle. He does not want to leave the problem as it is. He does not want to leave us alone in our need. Like this man, Jesus wants to. The Holy Spirit wants to. The Father wants to meet the need. He wants to see a Spirit who is working. And that's why it's so important that we don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Because He wants to move. And He wants to work. And He wants to help us. And He wants to make us make it different. He wants to do something that will astound us. He wants to do something so great that when we do it, when we see it done, we'll step back and say, look what God has done. That's His desire. He wants to see the Spirit being able to move. And the only reason He doesn't more than He does is because of us. We grieve the Spirit. We hinder the Spirit. We restrict the Spirit. We quench the Spirit. We need to get in the flow of where God's going. Find out what He wants and go with it. I love it when He moves. I love it when He answers prayer. I love it when He takes care of the situation. And He wants to all the time. But we so many times restrict Him. Look in verse 2 again. And behold, they brought unto Him a man sick of the palsy. Well, now, we know these to be four men that have got a burden for this one man who was sick. And these four men went the extra mile. These four men brought Jesus to the house and couldn't get in because of so many people. So instead of doing what most of us would have done and said, well, we did the best we could, let's go back home and forget it. They went to the rooftop, tore up the rooftop, let the man down, and the man got help. So here's four men who did more than the average and more than what was ordinary and more than what was expected. They were servants who were willing to do whatever it took. Here were some servants that wanted to help someone get to God and get help. And I believe that's what God wants this year. I believe that's what He wants this morning. Some servants who are willing. He wants a son who is welcome and a spirit who is working. But He wants a servant who is willing. Here's some people who said, we're going to do whatever it takes to get this man some help. I know Jesus can help him. I know He has the answer. I know He has a solution. This man is in sad shape. He's a sinner, number one, but he's paralyzed, number two. And the only hope he has is Jesus. But the only hope he needs is Jesus, because Jesus can help him. And these men got a burden for the man and took him to Jesus. They did what they could. I mean, really, all they did was carry a man. I mean, to be honest, there ain't a whole lot of spiritual significance to picking up a man and carrying him. I mean, you use muscles, you get a little time, a little effort. But there's a great spiritual significance in what God's doing through them. And I want us to realize this morning, if you're saved, you're not only a saint, but you're a servant. These people, these four men, were not only saints, they were not only saved, but they saw themselves as they were, as a servant. And they served the Lord as they could. They did what He wanted them to do. I ask us this question. Are you? If you're saved, you're a servant too. And we have so much in these days capsulized the service of the Lord. We think the only way we can serve God is hold a position in a church. And if you can't sing or play an instrument or teach or preach or do something significant with a position and a title, you can't serve God. I want to say this morning, all those things are serving God, but that's the beginning of service. Do you understand? There's some people here this morning. God wants you to serve Him by being a prayer warrior. And the greatest work you could ever do on earth is spend time before God and pray. Pray for His touch. Pray for His power. Pray, take these prayer lists home. Pray for people in these pews. Pray for people you know have needs. You're touching the God of heaven and getting help for these people by praying. That's one of the best ministries. That's one of the best ways to serve God anybody could accomplish in this world. And God wants people to serve Him by praying.
What about the gift of helps? I'm sorry, but I can't help but think about Brother Steve. Man, he works himself to death around here. And you know what a lot of it entails? Picking up stuff and carrying it. Cleaning stuff, moving stuff, taking trash off. The gift of helps is doing stuff. But it's a ministry that's needed. Some of you here this morning, I'm thinking about you right now, you have the gift of helps. You're able to help others by just doing general stuff. That's how God wants to use you. He wants to use you in that very specific way, that very, if we'd call it, ordinary way. But what great things He can do through you. There's a gift of administration. You just think logically all the time. You think one, two, three. And there's a lot of gifts that God gives His children, and He wants to use you in those very specific ways. I got a question. Do you even know what your gift is? Do you know what your gifts are? Oh, God wants. I'm talking this morning about what does God want? He has gifted you in the area that He has because He wants to use you. Here's some men, they picked up a man and went the extra mile to get him to Jesus. They didn't help heal. They didn't pray the prayer, even though they probably prayed. But they did what they could. I want to ask you, are you doing what you can? Are you doing what God has called you to do? The Father this year, this morning, is looking for some servants who are willing, who are working, who are doing what God has called them to do. You see, everything fits together. Everything fits together. You take one of these people out, one of these ministries out, one of these areas of service out, and everything gets out of whack. Everything gets all out of jumble. Here's what the Father wants. What does God want? I'm talking about here was a man who needed help, and he wanted help. And here's four men who saw the need, saw the man needed, and they wanted to help. And Jesus wanted to help. But I want to say this morning, the Father wanted this man to get help. What does He want for you? I'm glad He wants something. I'm glad He has a desire. I'm glad He can. I'm glad that He will, but I'm glad He wants to. He's looking for somebody who is willing to say, Father, whatever You want. Wherever God's moving, whichever He moves you to do, whatever He tells you to do, just get in line and do it. It's amazing what God can do through somebody who will say, I'll just be your errand boy. Whatever You want, I don't have to get recognition. Nobody has to acknowledge me. It doesn't matter who gets the glory. In fact, I don't want the glory. I want Him to. Because listen, this is something that God does. What does the Father want? He wants a son who is welcome and a spirit who is working and a servant who is willing. But He also wants a saint who is worshiping. Look in verse 8. And when the multitude saw it, they marveled. I've already said, they said, my, look what He did. There was no question who did it. There was no doubt who did it. They knew Jesus had. They knew God had. But notice what it says. And they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. They said, look what God has done. They glorified the Lord. They worshiped Him. You want to know what God wants? Some saints who are worshiping. Some people who worship God. I'm reminded of the man in Acts where it says he leaped up and stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. You may say, yeah, but Jesus just healed him. Sure He did. But He's done as much for us as He's done for that man.
And if that man had a right to jump up and holler and shout and run and rejoice and worship God, so do we. I've got a reason to say amen this morning. I have a reason to worship Him. I have a reason to praise Him. In fact, I don't only just have a reason, it's right to do it and wrong not to. This is something for everybody, men, women, boys, and girls. If you know Him, you're supposed to be worshiping. Psalm said it like this, oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness. Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise Him, all ye people. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. He said, let everybody, in case you're wondering, that means you. That's exactly what the psalmist said. Let the whole earth praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. We ought to be praising Him. If anything we're failing in is His praise and worship, I want to ask you a question. Do you come to church and worship? Do you even know what worship is? Do you even think about the Lord? Or are you just looking at singers and entertainment? Are you looking like a concert? You come in and just entertain? You can do that by watching an old Beatles video. Hey, when we come to church, we're to worship. There's a difference in worship. There's a difference in listening. There's a difference in just entertainment. We've come to worship Him. And this morning, He wants a people who will worship Him. Worship at church, worship at home, worship down the road. He wants us to worship Him. He wants to see a saint who is worshiping. Oh, He deserves our worship and our praise. But then lastly, look back in verse 5. Whether it is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk. I won't deal with that statement other than to say this. Jesus dealt, as I've already said, with His sin first, and then His sickness. Now, this scripture does not indicate very much about this man's attitude. It deals with the four people that brought him, actually more than his attitude. But I say this without any shadow of a doubt. I say this without any kind of fear. I believe this man wanted help. I believe this man wanted Jesus to help him with both his sin and his sickness. I don't think he came that day or had was aided that day to get to Jesus, and he just thought, well, I just want to get well and go on home and forget this Jesus man. I believe the Lord had brought this man to a place of conviction and a place of repentance. The reason I say that is because Jesus dealt with his sin. If he was not repentant, Jesus would not have forgiven him. Had he not been willing to confess, Jesus would not have forgiven. Jesus doesn't just swing his arm and say, everybody's forgiven. It's an attitude of your heart, whether you're forgiven or not. So let me wrap up this message by saying this. What does God want? Now, I don't know what you want. I hope you want to see God move. I hope you want to be amazed at what God does. But I'll tell you what God wants. He wants a son who is welcome and a spirit who is working and a servant who is willing and a saint who is worshiping. And He wants a sinner who is weeping. I believe with all my heart this man was broken over his sin. It wasn't just the fact that he was sick. I believe he was broken over his sin. Jesus deals with his sin first because that was his worst need. And this morning, if there's a sinner here, you know what God wants? He wants to forgive you. He wants to save you. He wants to take all your sin and wash it away. Now, you show me somebody else that wants to do that. If you've wronged someone in the past, tell me somebody who will come to you and say, I just want to forgive all that. I'm just wanting to forgive you. No, most of the time people will say, I ain't forgiven and I ain't forgetting. But the Father wants to forgive you. The Father wants to save you. He wants to birth you into His family. He wants to forgive you of your past and give you a future that's different. Here's a man that's dealing with his sin. Here's a father that's coming to a man who's dealing with the sin of the man. He's looking, he's wanting a sinner that will repent, a sinner that will weep, a sinner that is broken. Can I remind you of something? If you've got a lost loved one, God wants to save them. He wants to. Isaiah said it like this: "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that he cannot save, neither his ear heavy that he cannot hear." The Bible says God's hand not short where he wishes he could reach the sinner, but he just can't. He's not hard of hearing where he says, "Speak up, sinner, I can't hear you." Oh, no, he's ready to hear. He's ready to reach down in that sin and pull that sinner out. He wants to save him. I want to say, that lost loved one that you've just about given up on, remind yourself the Father wants to save him, wants to save her. Don't you stop praying now. Don't you stop believing now. Hey, keep on trusting. But I want to say to the person who's here this morning, who is lost yourself, God wants to save you. He wants to save you, and he will. If you'll come to him and accept his son. I ask you this morning, what does God want? What does he want for 2017? What I want is immaterial to some degree, but what he wants should matter an awful lot. Because when my desires get locked up with his desires, he can do great things. You want to know what happened that day when this man got forgiven and healed? God's desire hooked up with man's desires. And God did something miraculous. Aren't you tired of the ordinary? Aren't you tired of the average? Aren't you tired of trudging through life? Saved, yes, but just trudging through. Gloomy and helpless and hopeless and powerless. And when there's a God in heaven who's still God, there's a God in heaven who's still able. There's a God in heaven who's still willing, but there's a God in heaven who still wants to. I want to tell you, something happened that day that they marveled over. They thought, my goodness, look what God has done. And that's what he wants to do this morning. To where we'll say, we almost want to say, I can't even believe you, I did that. That's just amazing that God did what he did. And that's what he wants. But he can't if we don't get in line with him and submit to him and yield to him. I want to ask you, are you willing? Is that your desire? He wants to, but he won't force it. We have not yet seen what God could do. Read the Bible, astounding things. Read Christian heritage and Christian history, astounding things that God did. He hadn't even started. We could yet see the greatest thing God has ever done in our future, in our day, this year, in your life, in your home, in this church. He wants to. I'd love to see it, but so would he. So would he. Let's stand together. Many of you will come. I ask you first, do you know for sure you're saved? I ask you, do you know for sure you're saved this morning? If your life were to end this instant, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? If not, this invitation's for you. This invitation is not me talking to you. It's the Lord talking to you and asking you. He's asking you, will you come to this altar? It's just a place to meet him. It's just a place to pray. But you're coming because he's asking, he's drawing, he's speaking. I want to ask you, will you come and say, I'm a sinner, I need to be saved. I'm giving you my life. I'm sorry, forgive me. But I want to say to us that are saved, God's wanting to. He's wanting to. We know he's able, and we even know he's willing, but he's wanting to do great things in our lives. Will you come this morning? Put yourself at his feet and say, I want to be a part of your desire. I want to be a part of your plan. Like the four men who simply submitted to what God said, and God did something miraculous that they marveled over. Father, speak to hearts. Help us to listen to you. Draw us, Lord. May the end result of this message and this invitation astound us because of what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. This altar is here. You mind the Lord? Whatever needs you have, you come pray about it. Whatever the Lord is talking to you about, you come. Is the Son welcome in your life? Is he welcome in every area? Is the Spirit working in your life? Is He able to use you and work through you? Are you a servant that's willing to do whatever He tells you to do? That you just sort of sign a contract and leave the top open and sign your name, Lord, to whatever, I'm willing. God's wanting to do great and mighty things. He's able, but He's wanting to. He's wanting to. That's His desire. Is that your desire? Do you want to see it? It'll only happen when we yield ourselves, submit ourselves, give ourselves to Him. Are you willing? If you're lost, will you come? Will you accept the Lord this morning? Will you get it settled? Don't leave this church still lost. Don't leave this church still bound. You can be free. Your sin can be forgiven. Your eternity can be changed from hell to heaven. Will you please come this morning? Just come and tell Him. He knows it. Just tell Him you're a sinner and ask Him to forgive you. Please mind the Lord.